Hey, look at you, florist by day, student by night. Student by day, nurse by night. Since 1998, Penn State World Campus has led the charge in online education, offering access to more than 200 degree and certificate programs taught by our expert faculty. We offer flexible schedules, scholarships, and tuition plans to help you reach your educational goals online. Penn State World Campus delivers on your time. Click the ad or visit worldcampus.psu.edu to learn more.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, good show plan for you guys today. We're really getting into the new Ford Mustang.
Yeah, the GT500.
Yeah, I mean, man,
so good.
Didn't take it for a walk. He shook it out, man. Road course, quarter mile, multiple runs on the road course, multiple runs in the quarter mile. So he's all over that car. Talk about the future of the Camaro. I give a whimsical story about what it was like when I got out of high school and the cars that were available versus what's available now, night and day.
Good stuff.
We'll tell you that also whether it's worth getting the carbon fiber wheels or not. Spoiler alert, yes. First, I'll tell you about betonline.ag, man. NFL, college football, plus World Series. Yeah, it's getting, close to the... Wait, it was the World Series? We still got one more game? Yeah.
All right, recording this.
Betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for 50% sign-up bonus. Matchups, week 9, San Fran, Arizona, Minnesota, KC, Detroit, Oakland, lots of good games. We've got $500 in rewards to give out each week to 5 listeners and $5,000 season-long charity contest. So join the conversation on Twitter at hashtag SportsNetChallenge. My lock this week, San Fran. Well, I think they're going to go 9-0 against Arizona. I say 34-14. Lock it in. Use the promo code PODCAST1 and get a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on a mandate. Get it on and welcome to CarCast. Amanda Carolla, it's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea,
hello.
Over there. How you doing, Broseph?
Good. Busy.
Yeah,
Seems
man.
Seems a few days away and jamming on a truck and somehow worked in a weekend at Vegas with the GT500, new 2020 GT500.
And then
I forgot Leno's Garage you got on the schedule for this weekend as well. So
yeah, a lot going on. Tell me about, and funny, I think I saw Shelby had one of the auctions, maybe Russo coming up, talking about having Shelby's GT500 up for sale. Carroll Shelby's, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately went like, oh, is it a 68 or whatever it is, but it's the newer one. I glanced at it. I don't know. Could be 2011
or if
it was his, it was probably
or like
2008 or something.
But
either way, all things are kind of coming up Shelby these days with
the Ford v Ferrari movie coming out and your doc coming out and I know there's going to be some announcements soon on that. And Ford, I don't think Ford obviously timed this around the movie and stuff like that because they probably didn't even know about the movie when they started planning this car. But 2020 Shelby GT500, it's supercharged and 760 horsepower and fantastic.
Yeah, as we speak, I'm going to be at the Peterson Museum interviewing Matt Damon, Christian Bale, and James Mangold for ACS this week. So or today. So that's interesting. You guys can listen to that on Monday. I saw the GT500 unveiled on Jay Leno's Garage.
Yeah.
With Seal, the singer.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a ton of car, and finally, the interior and the stance and the exterior, they finally got it right.
It's what I would say. And I saw the clip from Jay Leno's Garage. The car was black.
It looked, I think it was a midnight blue. That's
the Kona blue, because they had, you know,
that's what I recall.
The car doesn't actually look that good, like in an all black. Like, I get the guys that want to like murder it out and do it all black, but
I don't.
But it's a mean looking car, and it's fantastic, and it has like all the cool things that you couldn't get on a Mustang previous. It has, you know, has functional aero. Like, they put a lot of time into the wing, and they, you know, and the carbon pack has carbon fiber wheels and 16 and a half inch diameter brakes.
16 and a half inch diameter like, brakes. And, Jesus Christ.
I think Motor Trend had already said this is not just the best Mustang ever made. It's one of the best sports cars ever made. And I would agree with that 100%. And, you know, I've gone on a bunch of these press events, these drive events, and it's a lot of like pick up a Lincoln Corsair in San Francisco and drive it through the canyons to Carmel Valley Ranch and have a nice dinner. But this event was, you know, pick you up from the airport, stay at Mandalay Bay, bright early in the morning, you go out to Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and there's 20 or 25 GT500s all lined up. Bright colors, like a pack of Skittles out there. They're Grabber Lime and the bright orange and three shades of blue. And, you know, it's a great, fantastic lineup. You do like a canyon run on the streets for 2 hours, and then you come back and you get on the track. Very simply, they're like, here's your helmet, here's your Hans device. We'll walk you through the track. You do the warm-up lap. You do three high-speed runs and then a cool-down lap. And you really get to experience the car. All of its power, all of its handling characteristics.
You did 760 horsepower, correct?
760 horsepower. I drove both the normal version and the carbon pack, the track pack
through
carbon pack.
Through a seven speed.
So it's a seven speed dual clutch transmission. It's a seven speed paddle shift DCT. It's made by Tremec, who makes the manuals anyway.
Right.
And it's good. It's really good. And I'll tell you, you know, even driving some of your older cars and your racing cars and even sports cars not that long ago, if you want them to perform well and to handle well, you start to sacrifice ride quality and comfort and noise. But with technology today, they have MagnaRide, they have all, you know, normal mode, sport mode, track mode, they have launch control, they have a Christmas tree for drag racing. You're driving down the freeway in comfort mode. You can even change the feedback of the steering. Mm-hmm. And it's as comfortable as anything else out there.
What's the base on that car?
I think 76,000, could be 74, but it's mid-70s, 75,000 base. You can get a nicely equipped GT500 with a handling pack and be in the 80s. And if you want the carbon pack, you're at 100,000. But the carbon pack has the exposed carbon fiber rear wing. It has the different nose, different splitter with the canards on it. It has the carbon fiber wheels.
Right. What were you doing your quarter miles? You were 11.1 in change.
So Ford statistics are the car does 0 to 60 in 3.3 seconds and runs 10.70s in the quarter mile. We went out to Las Vegas Motor Speedway. That has an elevation of a few thousand feet, and they're running the cars back-to-back all day. They don't shut them off. But getting out there, use the line lock, which is fantastic, to do big smoky burnout.
Sure.
And then the launch control, and I ran 11.1. And our buddy Evan Smith, a longtime editor in the Mustang world, who's like the best Mustang drag racer guy out there, I think he managed a 1080.
And is what does the Demon or the Hellcat or those, what are those doing? Not on slicks.
Yeah, so that's a good question, because the Demon is a drag race vehicle. You know, it's street and strip.
Right.
But that's supposed to run nines, but it comes with a drag pack, which comes with drag radials and skinny tires and a rear seat to lead. I don't actually know what it runs in just street form, stock tires. By the way, we didn't even change the tire pressure when we drag raced them. We, you know, we could have taken, you know, they're low profile tires. You're not going to get 16 pounds, but we didn't bring them down to 25 pounds or anything. We just ran it right off the showroom stock.
Yeah. It says Demon 9.65, but that may be with the drag
pack. That's with the drag pack and stuff right. on it. Yeah.
Hellcat 10.8. Look, but again, that's what the drag pack. The point is this. If you can hang with a Hellcat in a quarter mile, but also carve up a canyon,
yeah.
then that's a hell of a car.
This thing was so good around the road course. I did a few laps, and then I rode shotgun with one of their test drivers. You know, of course, I thought I was going fast, and then you ride with one of those guys, and you have no idea what you're doing. But they did point out that the carbon pack, that the Magna Ride that adjusts on the fly, they dial that in for whatever type of options you have on the vehicle. If you get the handling pack, if you get the carbon pack with the carbon fiber wheels, they said that the Magna Ride is tuned for all of that, and all, you know, the transmission, everything is tuned for that. And to give you an example, because we always talk about lightweight wheels and what does that mean, and two-piece rotors and carbon ceramic rotors, what does it mean? They said, all things being equal, the carbon fiber wheels are roughly 2 seconds faster around a road course that they tested on compared to the standard wheel. Just that alone. Once you dial it in with that lightweight, it makes a difference.
Unsprung weight, mm-hmm. man. So it's not, you know, you save, you know, you take out the back seat and you save a few pounds, but that's in the middle of the car.
Yeah.
But you do the rims and the rotors or what have you, and you're out on the corners of the car, and that just makes a huge difference.
It does.
Because otherwise, the weight savings between the carbon rims, just the rims, you're saying,
yeah.
is 2 seconds. 2 seconds is a lot. Just the rims versus forged aluminum rims on each corner is probably 3.5 pounds. Or something. I don't. It's probably not that great.
Oh, from the forged rims to the carbon fiber rims, I would guess it's probably closer to 10 to 12 pounds per corner.
I started to think about that.
Yeah,
maybe you're right.
I think a rim is probably about 35-40 pounds, and the carbon fibers are probably 20.
Well, something for Max Zapata or Kalen to look up, but I would guess it's less than 10 pounds, but maybe. I mean, it's a big difference. But yeah. again,
because you can take 4 pounds off with like a good two piece rotor, you know, the
hat,
you know, and then when you step up to a carbon ceramic, you probably, I don't know, maybe you're cutting almost 8 pounds per corner.
But if you're just talking about the rims, we'll try to figure out the difference yeah. in the rims. Anyway.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
It's such a good car. It's
what
so
would
much
you
fun.
Rather have, that car or the new Vette with the mid-engine? I know the new Vette is down on power compared to that, but you know people are going to be slapping on superchargers and stuff.
And arguably it's faster, you know, the mid-engine and the balance and the traction and whatnot. The Corvette claims 0 to 60 3.1 seconds in the normal car and 2.9 with the Z51 handling package, which largely means, you know, much better tires.
Mm-hmm.
And then around the road course, I don't know. Our friends at Edmunds, Alistair Weaver was in here, and he said that that Edmunds purchased, they have on order, a C8 Corvette with a Z51 package and a new GT500 with the handling package, but with not the carbon fiber wheels. And they're going to go head to head. He bought it that way because they wanted both cars to be roughly around the same price range.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into the carbon pack of the Mustang, it starts to knock the door of $100,000. And he wanted to spend like $85,000, $88,000.
I got to tell you, man, it's a weird
thing. My choice would be the Mustang. Just the noise that I like, you know,
Yeah, I might choose a Mustang too. I remember being young. Well, I remember a couple things. I remember being really young and going through sort of the gas embargo and fuel lines, mm-hmm. and they'd have odd, even number license plates and who could fuel up. And it's just a bunch of talk about like, we're out of fuel, we're going to be out of fuel, you know, by 1990, we'll have no more fuel and stuff like that. And also, I then, as I got out of high school, it was like the worst year for every car. And like, like 1982 was horrible for a Z car, and it's horrible for a Mustang, and horrible for a Corvette. I mean, if you take a look at, let's just say, for the sake of argument, although it'll probably be about right, let's say my son graduates high school in 2022. Okay.
Yeah.
The Corvette, the Mustang, the Z car that will be available to him will be world class.
Oh, they may all be electric by then.
The Z car, the Corvette, and the Mustang especially that was available to me was a goddamn shit show, right? So I remember being a car enthusiast, being young, thank God I couldn't afford anything, you know. It's funny how a couple of the rich kids got the Z whatever Camaro with the T-tops and all that. New, like but it was still a shit show.
Oh yeah,
like it was still junk. Like, you know,
someone very, very kindly sent me an original brochure, the big multi-page brochure on the Ford Lightning from '94 and '95, and you're flipping through the pages, and there's the quotes pulled from the, you know, from the Motor Trend and Car and Driver, and like best handling truck ever made. You know, not only that, and it can tow. This is a category killer. I drive my Lightning all the time. It's a hunk of shit.
Right.
Like it's the roughest riding thing.
No,
ever.
I know. And so I remember thinking in like kind of the mid '80s. Well, we're done with the whole muscle car world. It's all this cafe and fuel mileage and now smog. And the only way they could get the emissions down was to detune everything, and they'd have to lower the compression on everything. Mm-hmm. And so everything was a slug. And, you know, Corvette had a V8 in it with 165
horsepower.
And that
went across the board. You throw catalytic converters on a Ferrari 308. Not only does it become a fire trap, but it loses, I don't know how much horsepower, but.
And it's detuned. So I'm sitting around going, well, we're running out of fuel. Regulations keep getting harsher.
Yeah.
Gas keeps getting more expensive. And the whole muscle car era is in our rear view over 10 years now.
Mm.
And all we're going to do, like, if I ever get a decent job where I can afford a Corvette or a Z car or a Ferrari or something cool, there's going to be nothing left.
Nothing.
We'll have no fuel, and those things will be even slower because cars got faster to like 1971 and a half, and then just slower. And I was right in the middle of the slower, and all I could see was the graph that was going to just keep going.
It's
you
tough
know,
times, man.
They didn't. It's not like they put together three lean years. They put together from really like 1970 to 1987, 88, they just kept getting, like 1990, they just kept getting slower. It's like 20 years. Yeah. So I was projecting out the next 20 years, and I was going, oh, we're just going to keep going. We're just going to keep going down. And the notion that they're Hellcats and SUVs and Jeep Cherokee Track Attacks and stuff out there, and there's probably, I mean, if we sat down and figured out, new Lincoln Navigator's got, 494 horsepower, whatever. If we counted, like, that car is 500 horsepower, for anything 490 plus, there's probably 21 vehicles that have 500 horsepower plus that are readily available to purchase and drive on the street on pump gas, right?
Yeah.
And pretty insane.
And we're doing it more efficiently than ever before. But as you always like to say, once you start to threaten to take away something that we love, it becomes more popular. I'm not saying Mustang sales and Camaro sales are at record numbers, but the popularity of those vehicles to enthusiasts is still extremely high because we keep sort of threatening to take away those things. But, these car companies are starting to figure out, they're like, people still really want these cars. They sell 100 and something thousand of these a year. So they just need to sell, you know, three times as many small, you know, 37 mile per gallon SUVs or tiny cars. And then, you know, we can all have our Mustangs and Camaros and sports cars. And
well, I'm going to tease Camaro because I appreciated what they were doing several years ago when they were kind of rebooting it.
Yeah.
But as we agree, that sort of high shoulder trend is something that we seem it'll be a little bit of a time stamp, like we talk about a little shabby chic of its time, you know. And they had a good run for a while, but it feel like Mustang, obviously Mustang and Corvette have upped their game considerably since they came out. So
look what Dodge has been doing. They've been riding the same platform for, again, just keep reinventing, but you know, trims and packages and engines.
I feel like no matter what, no matter what you've done to that 2020 Camaro, I'm still getting the boss Mustang, right?
I kind of feel that way, yeah. So, as great as a ZL1 is, I still feel
you tell me when they're, I'll tease it, but tell me what you think Camaro's next. I mean, Camaro's got to be sitting around going, we've been on this platform for 8 years now or whatever.
Yeah.
What's our next move here?
Yeah. Oh, well, we know what their next move is.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Let me tell you about Tommy John. Max Pat, I need the weight of a forged aluminum rim on for the same Mustang.
Yeah, the company called Carbon Rev. They make the carbon fiber.
I got the weight of the carbon ones in. I just need to compare and contrast. Tommy John, lots of underwear brands. They claim big comfort out there. So why are so many men and so many women dissatisfied with their underwear? Well, they won't be dissatisfied if they wear Tommy John. Over 7 million pairs sold. 96% of their customer ratings are 4 stars plus. Legs never ride up. Waistbands never roll down horizontal. Quick draw fly saves men tons of fumbling time. Feather light, air dry. I mean, I'll wear them on the rowing machine.
Mm-hmm.
At 9 o'clock at night, I'll work up a little froth. I'll just hang them out in my bathroom, air them out, dump a little talc down the next day.
I wear them for a run and I don't get the chafing, so I'm good.
Wear them the next day. Yeah, man, the stuff is good. They got it for men and women, all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Matt?
Yeah, hurry to TommyJohn.com/carcast now to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/carcast for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/carcast.
Well, you are right, my friend. 15 pounds per corner.
Yeah.
From the forged rims to the carbon fiber. Is that true, Max Pata? The carbon fiber ones, the forged ones weigh 32.
Yeah, and with the rear seat delete, you can save 88 pounds.
Mm-hmm. So that's just the rims. No, not talking about rotor brake package.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Like you said, you take it off of unsprung weight, it's almost, I don't know, multiplied twofold, threefold
right.
for what it is, you know.
Right.
So Camaro, disappointing news is the Camaro is coming to an end. I think it has 1 or 2 years, 21 is going to be the last year. And we don't know what happens beyond that, but we know that the Camaro sales are down right now. And you know, a good car, you can get discounts on the Camaros and the ZL1s, but it's going to be the end of the Camaro unless something changes.
Well, these brands have endured for years and decades and, you know, half centuries, these names, you know, Camaro and Mustang and Corvette. And I don't know if you looked at them. I don't think there's ever been an uninterrupted Corvette. I think they started in 53.
There was one year. It's going to drive me nuts, but I want to say 83 or 84.
Well, they launched a new. Year. I thought they launched a new one in 82, or maybe it was 84. They launched a new one, maybe 83. Anyway, uninterrupted,
pretty much.
Mustang uninterrupted, although they should have stopped and regathered at some point. But that was uninterrupted as well. Camaro interrupted. Yeah, they took some time off. Z cars took some time off. Supra took some time off. I think as much as you want to go, oh, that's the end of Camaro.
Challengers and Chargers, big gap.
Big gap. So I don't think it's really over. I think they end it, and then they go back, and they kind of regroup, and they come up with something, and then they come out with another one.
And I don't know what the threshold is, like, for a GM. Is it, you know, 75,000 cars per year sold is kind of at the point where, like, we need to rethink this, and then 125,000 is enough to keep something alive? I don't know, because you live in the world of Toyota Camrys and Ford F-150s. You're talking hundreds of thousands, if not a million cars a year, right? I don't know what a Camry sells, 500,000, 600,000?
Well,
you
know, I'm
CRVs, RAV4s, they got to be 250,000 a year.
I don't know how it works. Like, I don't know if there are any lost leaders. I mean, we do understand the concept of a Ford GT costing more to produce than they sell it for.
Yeah, so and it's a halo car for the brand. And
right, you know. So they're not making a profit off of that car. So we at least have precedent for vehicles not turning a profit but helping the brand of the company.
Yeah, Lexus LFA, maybe Acura NSX, I'm not sure.
Right. So, yeah, certainly the LFA was a money loser, but cool for the brand.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, I don't know how much money a Corvette makes, GM. I would bet if they were just counting beans and they were like, we need a V, like we can replace a Corvette and do another GMC truck or something. Oh, wait a minute. Is that GM?
Yeah.
Is that Chevy? Is that Chevrolet, right?
Sierra.
So there's some the GMC, SUV thing, yeah, or something. The bean counters would go, we'll make more money if we just have another midsize SUV. So somebody's saying,
or a pickup truck or something. And there's a lot of margins in those.
We're Corvette. I mean, we're Chevrolet. We need a Corvette.
Yeah.
We need to be out there. So it can't all just be X's and O's and dollars and cents. It's got to be some emotional part of it that says, we're going to have a race team, we're going to lose money, but we're going to win at Le Mans, and that's going to be good for sales.
Well, it's interesting because you when you bring up the Corvette specifically with the Camaro, why wouldn't the Camaro start to do well because the Corvette's going to mid-engine? So wouldn't the Camaro be sort of their front-engine sports car, front-mid, whatever it's going to be, like to have that option? If there's not going to be a front-engine Corvette anymore, why not have a new, you know, pretty cool, you know, Camaro, and then push the Corvette as the mid-engine upmarket a little bit? Or maybe they're just saying Corvette is where we want to put our focus.
I think the Camaro is kind of dated now. I don't think they look that good going down the street.
There's a few design things that I don't care for on that car. There's something weird with the grille and the high belt line. All the cars are doing this high belt line, but it's so high. Like, the windows just seem so thin, and the A-pillar is kind of big, and it's tough to kind of see past. And
I think it performs. I think the Charger and the Challenger and the Camaro are going to need sort of a reboot.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me. Are you coming with me to Champ Car on Saturday with Leno?
Yes. I was thinking about that, and I'm going to do that, and then more truck stuff. Keep jamming on the truck. Get it on over to SEMA. It's down at Magnaflow right now, getting the exhaust installed. And
well, I got bad news for the ride there and ride back.
Yeah.
Mike Lynch is coming into town, and he's just going to be dictating the book the entire time.
Yeah, it's all right. I like Mike.
Okay.
You're going to yap, and he's going to write it down.
He's actually going to yap to me, and I'm going to tell him what to fix.
Yeah, okay.
I flipped the script. What is, what is Fontana from my house at 6:30 in the morning? Is it 55 minutes?
It can't be. I mean, maybe.
It can't be over an hour, can it?
I don't think so. I don't think it's that far, that early in the morning.
Well, zero traffic,
yeah,
it could be a 45 to 50 minute thing.
Yeah, I
Jay's going to be there with his leather knapsack briefcase thing over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever you want to do.
I'm surprised they don't make him a fire suit out of denim with patches on it.
Oh.
Or at least like airbrushed to look like denim. So
do you
remember
the Levi Gremlin?
Yes, we talked about that before.
And the Levi Jeep?
Yeah.
Like when Levi...
I remember the Jeep, but the Gremlin, yeah.
Find me a picture, Max Zapata, of the Levi Jeep. Could you imagine a worse interior than Levi's? Like, I mean, honestly, like leather's fine and, you know, the micro cloth or whatever they're using is fine, but doesn't jean material feel uncomfortable for the to sit on inside of your car?
Yeah.
The Levi Jeep, literally the Jeep. You know
what's funny
with
is
Levi.
I get denim is blue, but you don't have to do the blue denim covers on the seats and then do the rest of the interior like a blue vinyl. Like,
right.
You can do some black, right? And just focus the blue on the denim. You can do a little two tone. You don't have to blue out everything like the Smurf murder scene in there. Like, it's just, it's too much.
Imagine Max Zapata. Imagine me going to like Honda and going, I got your next car, Dockers. And they go, what?
Khaki everywhere.
It's a corduroy or a khaki, but it's a car by Dockers. They go, why? Yeah. They go, what do you mean, why? It's cool.
Yeah.
And they'd go, what the fuck's that have to do with a car? It's not going to be comfortable. And I go, yeah, but we get to write Dockers on the side of the car. Like Eddie Bauer.
Yeah.
And it's like, imagine how high everyone was in the 70s that they just thought this was a cool idea. All right, hit your...
Do you think Jeep hits up, Levi or Levi hits up Jeep? Let's think about that. But Geico, everybody's got a to-do list. You're dropping off some dry cleaning, maybe picking up some milk. Or if you're like me, you're getting the stereo installed on your truck, getting the exhaust installed for SEMA. Well, now you can save hundreds of dollars to your to-do list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
All right. So we're going to be down at SEMA. How do people come find us at SEMA?
SEMA is going to be very busy, especially the first couple of days. So show starts on Tuesday. Tuesday morning, come on into Central Hall to the K&N Filters booth, and you and I will be there doing CarCast Live. Get there when the doors open. Doors open at 9 and hustle on over there as fast as possible because we're going to be starting early. And I believe we're going to be interviewing some guys from K&N. We're going to talk about what they're doing in drag racing. We're going to talk to Patrick Dempsey, I think Patrick Long, our Porsche driver friend, and maybe the Arch Motorcycle guys, Gard Hollinger and Keanu Reeves.
Right.
And maybe some more guests, if we have time. There's never enough time.
God, I got to tell you, man, where does the time go? We're coming up on Thanksgiving, and you blink your eyes, and you're at the holiday, you're at Christmas, and then you turn the page. 2020, for Christ's sake.
Well, it's gonna go quick. Right after that podcast, you are heading over to Apex for the Castrol booth, so people can swing by there and say hello to you. And I think Castrol's contest winner will be there. You can meet them. And then we are judging the Hot Wheels Legends Tour. I think it's in a parking lot outside of SEMA. It'll be us. It'll be our buddy Dave Merrick from Acura and Jay Leno and Brad Fanshaw and a couple of other guys.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I got a text from Kevin Costner the other day.
Yeah.
And he's like...
Wait, let me pick up the name you just dropped.
Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
I didn't return it because it doesn't say Kevin Costner on his thing. It says it like one of his character names from a movie, you know, and I was like, I don't know who this person is.
Oh.
I should have known. But a few days later, Matt figured it out when he's looking at my phone. It's like, that's Kevin Costner. And it said, saw the commercial looking good. And I thought he was talking about No Safe Spaces.
Yeah.
And so I wrote him back and I was like, are you talking about No Safe Spaces? And he goes, no, the Castrol commercial.
The Castrol commercial. That's good.
He goes, looked like you're having fun out there. And I was like, wow. They've been running those things on during football Sundays and college football and stuff like that. And it's weird, you know, in a weird way, you get much more exposure on a commercial than you do doing a TV show, because the TV show's on one network and the commercials, they just spread them out all over the place.
So wait, I don't get the text. You didn't know it was him. Did he sign it with a different, like, hey, it's Crash Davis from Bull Durham or whatever his name was, Crash something from. Like,
yeah, he has.
Maybe he's just sitting out having a couple of cocktails watching the game.
He didn't sign it. It was just, it's just like you send me a text and I guess your name is on it.
Yeah, but I probably at one point I put my name in your phone.
I don't know how it works, but either way, it's not his name. Like, I just looked at it and went, I don't know who this person is. But you're welcome. I mean, thank you for saying this.
Yeah, that was very sweet of him to say.
I'm going to write you back because I don't know who you are. But but that was, I thought that was a funny thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a weird, God, I got to tell you, I got a lot of range. I got to say, like, I don't know. I was thinking about it, like, philosophically, like, got Donald Trump Jr. coming in to do ACS in a week or so.
Oh, yeah.
Then also today, as we talked about, going to hit up Matt Damon and Christian Bale.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
Those are different dudes.
Yeah.
but my thing is, why not talk to everybody?
Why not talk to everybody?
I don't get it. Like,
I want to tune into all those. They sound interesting to me. The Bale and Damon one's going to be interesting because it's kind of out of their normal element here in the studio. You got to go there. And I thought it was going to be like a live show that you guys were doing, but it's not. It's a press junket. It's kind of a one-on-one, like in a small room. You know,
right.
You know, sort of shotgun style. You get a certain amount of time. There's a publicist tapping their watch the whole time, doing that kind of deal.
Well, this isn't. We are allegedly going to have some time to sit down with James Mangold, the director, mm-hmm. and Christian and Matt, not to kind of move it along to the next station kind of thing.
Okay, so are you going to ask anybody in that room if they saw the 24-hour war?
I shall ask.
Maybe wait till the end of the interview.
I'll wait to the end of the interview.
So they don't cut it off. I'm just curious.
Well, I don't think there's anything nefarious. I would see a documentary of the subject of the movie I was going to embark on, especially if I was the director. Well, first off, get ready. I'm dropping another name.
Okay.
I just got a rando email from Judd Apatow, and he's just like, hey, what's up? I love your docs. What do you got? You got anything new? So he's a director. He likes to watch docs.
Yeah.
I like to watch docs. I'm assuming, you know, guys who work punch presses don't like to watch docs as much as James Mangold does or Judd Apatow.
And Apatow is so creative, too, that he's got to be seeing sort of this exposure of car feature films. Maybe he's a little bit influenced in that. You know?
Yeah, maybe. We should hope everyone wants to make a car film after hopefully this success.
There's still so many good stories out there.
You're right. So, but it would make sense that a guy like Mangold would see the 24-hour war just kind of anyway. Just like he likes docs, he's in the business. Like Apatow would see it, not to make a movie on it, just because it's a doc, it's out there, it's a story, it's good.
Yeah. So, listen, you follow anybody that follows The Rock on social media knows that, you know, not every week, but once a month or so, he posts to Instagram. His Sunday night ritual is a ridiculous cheap meal of 400 pancakes and 4 pints of ice cream and a plate of cookies and on his laptop and watches a doc.
Right. And also, so it makes sense that James Mangold may have seen it anyway, but it makes more sense that if he was then going to make a movie on the subject, that he would carve out 95 minutes and watch it, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd do it anyway, and now it's the subject you're making a movie on. But I got to tell you, the Ford v Ferrari is very good. I was a little worried that I was seeing it like, I don't know, in a weird way, like parents think their kids are cute, but some of them are homely, but the parents always think they're cute. You know, I say, I watched it and I was like, this is a good movie. But then I walked out and went, maybe I know way too much.
Yeah.
Like maybe I'm going to go on Rotten Tomatoes and it's going to be 57% or something.
Okay.
I enjoyed it, but I know all the names and all the events and the Daytonas and the Pete Brocks and when they're talking about Phil Remington and it's like Remy or whatever. And it's like, I know all those names. I know all those guys. So I'm completely polluted. And I don't know. And it's sitting at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes with about 60 critics weighing in.
Yeah.
So that's not the people. That's the critics. So
that's the critics.
That is a car movie with an all-white heterosexual cast because they just didn't have a black guy in the crew.
Yeah.
You know, like they're redoing a time period that just no one had worked for. None of the executives at Ford were women of color.
Yeah, and they didn't cast Denzel as Lee Iacocca.
No, they didn't.
I mean, that would have been fine.
So I'm saying Max Zapata, 88% on a movie that's burning fossil fuels and has zero people of color. And the women are sort of there as, you know, set dressing for the dudes to support the dudes.
Yeah.
You know, back in the salad days when people were happy, at least I would have been. Sitting at 88%, you're not going to do much better on Rotten Tomatoes without all the extra woke baggage, right? Like, there's not a woman, there's not a strong woman, there's not a gay character, and there's not a person of color in the entire movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty, 88%? I don't think you do better than that on Rotten Tomatoes in this day and age, right? So, looking forward to that. All right, Castrol Edge, Stronger Under Pressure. Heat. Man, that's the enemy. Castrol takes care of that. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing the power. Three times stronger.
Three times, fool.
Speaking of white, that's a white cast right there.
Yeah.
Then leading full,
I don't want to fake it.
Leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. Edge, it's formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. It's Castrol Edge.
Okay, so wait, Judd Apatow, what was the follow-up? Did you send him some docs? What did you tell him?
I sent him the Castrol commercial.
Did
told
you?
Him to beat it.
Say,
good enough for
Costner, loves it.
Good enough for you.
Yeah.
No, I said...
You can't tell him, hey, wait, I'll send you something in 9 months. Like, you get on that.
No, I said, I don't know what docs you've seen of mine. I can't remember which ones I've sent you or which ones you've seen or whatever it is. He told me he had not seen, I don't think he'd seen Shelby in No Safe Spaces. So I said, I'll send you those two.
Yeah, okay.
So... and we'll see what he says.
Yeah.
All right. You can check out Not Taco Bell Material, my stand-up special. That's iTunes and Amazon and Apple TV and Amazon and Chassis, two S's and a Y. No Safe Spaces, as discussed. I think it's rolling out in Denver and San Diego this weekend. It's really good. So
a huge debut. I'm sure you talked about it on ACS, but like the largest single screening for a doc, like ever, or second largest,
second,
like world record.
Right? Per screen, yeah.
Per single fantastic.
So you can go to nosafespaces.com and get tickets and show times, and check out my stand-up clips on youtube.com/Adam Carolla. We're putting up clips of stand-up. Go to adamcarolla.com for everything you need. What do you got, man?
Shift and Steer. We're doing those shows live every day from the MagnaFlow booth at SEMA at 11, from 11 to 12, and of course, we'll put them up this podcast.
So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Carolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Hey, look at you, florist by day, student by night. Student by day, nurse by night. Since 1998, Penn State World Campus has led the charge in online education, offering access to more than 200 degree and certificate programs taught by our expert faculty. We offer flexible schedules, scholarships, and tuition plans to help you reach your educational goals online. Penn State World Campus delivers on your time. Click the ad or visit worldcampus.psu.edu to learn more.